Our scripture this morning comes out of the book of Exodus, the fourth commandment. Starting with chapter 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on that seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Keeping the Sabbath. I really thought this was going to be one of the easier ones to talk about. Having been raised in the Christian Reformed Church, and I'm not making fun of them, don't get me wrong, the Sabbath day that we spent as children were much, much different than we spend them today. Just give you a little bit of selfish background. My mother would make Sunday dinner on Saturday night. Our Sabbath was to get up, have an unprepared breakfast, go to church, go to Sunday school, come home, eat the dinner that my mother made the day before, go to bed, take a nap, get up, eat an unprepared snack, go to church, come home, and go to bed. That was our Sabbath. You guys relate to that? Yeah, exactly. We got some CRC people here this morning. But that's okay. We'll make them welcome too, right? I pick on them only because I know them. But today it's so much different. And I want to talk about keeping the Sabbath has been called the forgotten spiritual discipline. It may be the most important discipline of all. In a way, it's the easiest one to keep. It wasn't for us kids. Because it was a chore to not be able to go and play with the neighbor kids. But this is the easiest one to keep because there's nothing to do. Yet most of us are so driven that we can't possibly imagine doing nothing. Doing nothing is not in our DNA today. Most of us have to have something. We appraise our work and ourselves by what we do. We gauge our worth by quantifiable accomplishments. The more work we do, the better we are. Yet sometimes, being is more important than doing. Someone I know confessed that keeping the Sabbath was a commandment that he violated the most. I will venture to say that is true for everyone that is sitting here this morning. It certainly is true if we still are prone to celebrate the Sabbath the way we were raised. This person thought about it. Why is it that way? And he came to realize that busyness had priority in his life. This person, and I think maybe most of us today, are programmed that we have to be doing in order to be worthwhile. Setting and doing nothing is not part of our DNA. And that DNA that is inherited into us, and I use this term just because it's easier to relate to, causes us to violate the command that Jesus Christ gave us. You see, life was all about working hard, producing more, never pausing to rest. This person felt that he wasn't putting God first and had to make work an idol. We talked about that a week ago, 2 weeks, whenever it was. Thou shalt not worship any idols, shall not have any idols. Well, I think for those that think, and sometimes I include myself in this, that work is so important that it comes before worshiping. It comes before keeping the Sabbath holy. And I can give you a perfect example of this. Several years ago, we had some people that attended church here, members. And very, very rarely was he here on Sunday to worship. Occasionally, but very rare. So one day, one Sunday, I was down. So I was out of place probably, but that's a little normal for me. I asked him, I says, you know, are we doing something wrong here at church that you can't come and worship with us on a regular basis? You know what his excuse was? He couldn't come every Sunday because that was the day he had to go clean the dog poop out of the pen. Can you believe that? Excuse my language. I was taken so aside. What little thing can prevent us from keeping the Sabbath holy? I think, and sometimes we're all a little guilty of that. Oh, I don't, oh, the roads are slippery. Oh, it's so cold out. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it goes on and on and on. It's so easy for us to come up with a reason why not to keep the Sabbath holy. Much easier than it is to obey the commandment. The Sabbath forces us to trust that God will provide for all of our needs and that He will somehow continue to do that. The Sabbath is a practical reminder that we are totally dependent on God. Sabbath keeping becomes a matter of faith. And in that, we can stop doing work without worrying if all we built will fall apart. This guy that I illustrated, used as an illustration, didn't take the time to realize that Monday morning that dog manure was still going to be there. He could have come to church. I always suspected there was an underlying reason, but I'm making my point. At least I hope I am. If God works all things together for good, can we relax? If not, you better start worrying. This holy day sadly places a wedge between the Jews and the Christians. And I'm going to expound on that here in a few minutes. The early church observed Sabbath as a day of rest. We just read that, right? But today, I can understand how people in healthcare and law enforcement need to be on duty, but some companies that can take a break don't. Back in the day, when the McDonald's opened up on Cutlerville on 68th Street, that was the only McDonald's in the world that was closed on Sunday. Isn't that amazing? Well, hold on a minute. It was only for a few months. And they were open on Sunday because somewhere in the management train decided there was a dollar to be made that they're missing by not having open doors on Sunday. You see my point? They respect the religious convictions of their employees, but they don't allow them to live it. Can we get a job today that does not require us to be available on Sunday? Anybody know of any? Yeah, there are a few, huh? But I'm making my point. Most of them are not. My grandkids have jobs that require them to work on Sunday. And have a really, really hard time finding a job that did not. Now we can insert into this our faith and et cetera, et cetera. But you see where our society is today? Companies do not respect the religious convictions of the people that work for them. We have adopted what has been called the tyranny of the urgent, which keeps us from shutting down. We are so busy. We have so much on our plate that we have to work on Sunday to get it all done. Some places have made the Sabbath a burden. But as Jesus pointed out, the Sabbath is for us. The Sabbath is for our benefit. And such, it is a blessing and not a burden. Most people think of the Sabbath as a burden because it interferes with what they would rather do. What they would choose to rather do. Rest is part of the liberating package God has for us. But it's grace. We are freed from the penalty of sin through God's grace. And by observing the Sabbath, we're giving a break from the hectic pace of life. I don't think we realize how big a deal that is today. When I began thinking of how to keep the Sabbath, I thought, what would a good Sabbath look like? Certainly not the way it looked like when I was a kid, I can tell you that. Now we're going to get back to that in a few minutes also. I was hoping to compile a checklist of ways which misses the entire point. My first intent in preparing for this message was to have for you a checklist of things that you can and cannot do. But I soon learned that was Old Testament stuff. They had a law that said you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot, and the list goes on and on. We read some of it this morning in verses 9 and 10, I think. The goal of the Sabbath is not to come up with more things to do, because the Sabbath is not about doing. There's a reason Scripture is silent about specifics. The Sabbath is not about rules. Did you ever think of that? It's not about rules. We're all given our guidelines with the new covenant. Some of them guidelines are rest. Cease from work. Celebrate. Remember. Observe. Delight yourself. God told Moses, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, that I, the Lord, may sanctify you. That's Old Testament stuff now. In other words, it's important. It is directly related to our spiritual growth. On the Sabbath, we wake up in a world we didn't make, into a salvation we didn't earn, and attuned to the rhythm of grace. That's New Testament stuff. Someone once told me they scheduled into their date book, wrote right in the date book, time to think and reflect. You know why he wrote it in his date book? Because if it wasn't there, he didn't do it. And my response when he told me that was, I didn't say it. One of the rare times I bite my tongue. I didn't say it. But my thought was, why didn't he write into his date book a day to worship? A day to rest, a day to on and on and on. But he didn't. He went on to say, otherwise he wouldn't do it. We are best attuned to hear when we're still. When we are at rest. When we have not cluttered ourselves with the work at hand. When we have not cluttered ourselves with what has to be done today, tomorrow, next week, whatever. It is so much easier for us to connect with Jesus Christ. To do what he has commanded us to do. Otherwise, we miss what God wants to give us. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, when we're busy, we can't focus on God. He wants our attention. There is nothing that makes God's day better than if He has our attention. There is nothing that makes Satan's day better than if we don't come to worship God and keep the Sabbath holy. That is what we're asked to do. Some of us cannot relax. Some of us cannot worship, keep the Sabbath holy, because we feel guilty because that job that I had to complete yesterday didn't get done. And now it's not going to get done, and who knows when. The Sabbath is not a reward for completing all of our tasks and obligations. It's not. It's a break we take in the middle of them without apology. Can you, in my previous life, I remember on a 90-degree day trying to sell an air conditioner. This was on a Saturday afternoon. He says, "Can you put it in tomorrow? I'll pay extra." You know what my response was? I didn't apologize. My response was, "No, can't do it. I got to worship God tomorrow." This guy didn't connect to that at all. You know, I was telling him, tomorrow is my break. Tomorrow is the day that I need to be with God. And he could not relate to that at all. He ended up buying it from somebody else that could put it in on Sunday. That's okay. Didn't break my heart. But you see my point? We don't need to apologize. We don't need to tell someone, "You know what, I'm really sorry, but I have to worship God." We don't need to do that. We need to announce it. "You know what, today is, tomorrow is the best day of the week for me, because I get to sit in a sanctuary and worship my God with my church family, because Jesus Christ asked me to do that. Thank you." It's a break that we take in the middle of all that we have without apology, for no other reason than this: we get to worship our God. So in starting my study for this message, the one thing that came to my mind immediately was, why and how has keeping the Sabbath become such a controversy? Did you ever think of that? The other thing that came to my mind was a question that had been asked many, many, many times. And I've asked myself that same question. Why don't we worship on Saturday instead of Sunday? Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Well, I think I have an answer for you. First of all, the commandment says we shall not work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to Israel as a covenant sign. And this is where this part of where I'm going to get into a controversy between the Christians and the Jews. So stick with me for a few minutes. And Israel was commanded to rest on the seventh day. The Sabbath was certainly a day for social concern. It was also a day to honor and worship the Lord. Worshiping on the Sabbath, being Saturday, was a covenant between the Israeli people and God. And he used Moses to instill that covenant. And then the people throughout the Old Testament lived by the rules that came with that covenant. It was tied to that covenant with the Lord. Breaking the Sabbath was no trivial matter, for the death penalty was inflicted upon those who intentionally violated it. Old covenant, Old Testament. Why did they kill Jesus? Because he was accused of breaking the Sabbath. And the old covenant rules dictated that for anybody that broke the Sabbath was to be put to death. You can read that in Leviticus. And that's what happened. But when Jesus came and created a new covenant, that then supersedes the old covenant that we read from the Old Testament. Now, I don't want to suggest that we throw that out and pay no attention to it, but I do want to suggest that with Jesus' arrival, the commands are the same. The application is different. So first of all, Jesus was killed because of that violation in the Old Testament. And I want to say to you this morning, strictly speaking, Jesus does not clearly abolish the Sabbath, nor does he violate his stipulations. But with Jesus coming to earth and establishing a new covenant, he reminds his hearers that the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was in part a celebration for the Egyptians releasing the Israelites out of slavery. So here's my thing. Don't take any of this out of context, okay? The Old Testament called Saturday the Sabbath. The New Testament called Sunday the Lord's Day. And we are commanded to worship on the Lord's Day as Gentiles and believers and lovers of Jesus Christ. But that was, the early church really ignored that for hundreds of years. They continued worshiping on Saturday, that being the Sabbath. And I'm not here to suggest they were wrong. But when this Lord's Day thing really grabbed a hold, was when Constantine was the emperor of Rome. And you gotta give me credit for my memory. March 7, in the year AD 321, Constantine sent a message saying, you now create a Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, and that is the day that Gentiles are to worship. Now, he didn't say you can't do it on the Sabbath day anymore. What Constantine was saying is there's a distinction between the Sabbath day and the Lord's Day. And that's what we live by today. That's what we're commanded to do, to worship one day out of six. And Constantine suggested that it be on Sunday, but the truth of the matter is this is just a Gary Zinger thing, right? I really believe that God is just as happy if we worshiped on a Wednesday and worked on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. One day out of six, I really believe we would be within the command that Jesus Christ gave us. But our society has wrapped itself around worshiping on the Lord's Day. And I think that's what we need to do. I'm not saying if we don't, we've sinned. I just think that that's what we need to do. One of the things that Jesus preached about was this being in tune with your culture, being in tune with the society with which you live in, as long as it falls in line with what Jesus Christ has for us. So now that I've opened this can of worms, and I want to announce this morning that this church, this sanctuary, will be open on Sunday, the Lord's Day, to worship our God. Amen. Thank you. I could really go on and on. Because this series that we're in the middle of, we call the Ten Commandments, has just fired me right up. I mean to tell you, I am fired. I can't wait to go home and start my study for the next message. Isn't it exciting to be able to study the God's Word? And to be able to be comprehend what God's intention is, and to be able to know what God expects of us. Isn't that exciting? So having said all of that, I think I'm just going to say, and all of God's people said, oh, come on. All of God's people said, amen. All right. Our closing hymn, Something Beautiful.
Something beautiful. Something all my confusion.